Okay. I always have a problem what to talk about, and I have amazing hashgacha pratis. Usually something happens that gives me a topic. So Friday I had a doctor's appointment for my foot, and I go to the doctor, and while I'm there, he decides to check me a little bit from other things, and he asked me, "Are you depressed?" And I'm thinking, like, why in the world does he think I'm depressed? Do I look depressed? I'm, you know, no. Anyway, why did he ask? I told him no. Anyway, but the question is, why did he ask me if I'm depressed? Right. The answer is because depression is probably one of the most prevalent sicknesses in the country. Now, I'm not talking about depression. Don't get scared. Don't get depressed. Not about depression, because we don't assume anyone here is depressed. But I just, for curiosity, just for fun, I typed into the yeshiva's computer about 5 minutes ago, what is the percentage of people, adults, who are depressed? It says that women are more likely to be depressed than men. So it said as follows. This was most, you know, everyone obviously slightly different numbers. But it seems the average number was that at any given point, 1 out of 10 people are depressed. No, I'm sorry. At any given point, 3% of people are depressed. Right, 3 out of 100.
It's for sure more than
1 out of 10 will be depressed sometime in their life. In any given year, 6.7% of the population will be depressed. And of the country that has the highest depression rate recorded is India. And after that, coming in second, is France, Netherlands, and the United States.
Is it like clinical depression? Or like,
yeah, no, real good, serious depression.
Actually, they were very good in a lot of ways.
Right. It means real gesunde depression, which I'm not talking about because hopefully we don't have that. Right. But why is this relevant if this is not talking about? Because if there's such a high percentage, basically says 6.7% of the American population at any given year. So the question is, if 6.7% are depressed, what is the percent of people who aren't happy? Right? I have the same question. I was talking to a bunch of people. If 25% of the population are getting divorced, what is the population that aren't happily married that are not getting divorced? You know, it's a little scary thought. So if 6.7% of the population are mamish depressed, right? Mamish depressed means they can't get out of bed in the morning. They are depressed. Right? So how many people are, okay, they're not depressed. They're just not happy. No, it's probably a very much higher. In fact, according to most people, it is, you know, way up there. Rav Zuckerman told us a story. Rav Zuckerman was the Talmid of the Chofetz Chaim. He told us a story. Obviously, it's a mashal. It's not a real story, but it comes from a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, so I think it's okay. He said there was a king who got sick, and the doctors told him that the only cure is he has to put on a shirt of a happy person. So he called in his prime minister, who was obviously happy because he runs the whole country, and he says, "Can I have your shirt?" And the prime minister says, "Why?" He says, "The doctors say I have to wear a shirt of a happy person." And the prime minister says, "Well, to tell you the truth, I'm really not so happy." So he calls in all his cabinet members, and of course they all tell him they're not happy. So then he sends out messages throughout the whole country, and everybody they ask say they're not really happy. And so they're searching the whole country to find one really happy person. Finally, on top of some hilltop, they find the shepherd, and they ask him, "Are you really happy?" And he says, "Yes, I'm so happy." And they say, "Quick, we need your shirt." He says, "Shirt? Don't own one." Anyway, that was Rav Zuckerman's story. So most people in the world, regretfully, are not really happy. Now, Why is that relevant? The relevance is because happiness gives one energy. A person who's happy is able to function. You need less sleep. You need less food. You need less, you know, when you see it, when your guy comes in the base medish and it's so hard, I'm so tired, it's so hard. It could be he's missing in hasmada, he's missing in motivation, but it could be he's missing in happiness. Right? When you're happy, not so happy, so life's a drag. When you're happy, everything is great. You're full of energy. Right? I always tell the story that I had an uncle, my Uncle Joe, who had lots of good stories on my Uncle Joe. He was he came to America. He said World War I was the best thing that ever happened to him because he was earning in Salvaca and he had to run away. He said if he would have stayed there, what would he have been? A rabbi, a garnish. But he says, that was his words. But now he came to America, he became a multimillionaire, you know. Anyway, he ended up coming to America and he became a quite multimillionaire. I'm talking about multimillionaire. So, you know, he has a charity fund about $100 million in it. It's just for the record. But Yeshiva gets every year a few thousand from it. But it's okay. Anyway, he had a jewelry shop, but not a little jewelry, like a whole building in Boston, which was his main business. He had some other businesses, whatever. So his daughter told me that he used to work, he was nifter when he was 100. But he worked basically till he was nifter. So, and the whole family worked in the business. So she says that her father was like 90 years old. She was, let's say, 60. And they were working in the business. And they're coming home. It was like in December. And it was near the end of the holiday season. And she says she was so exhausted because they kept the store open till late at night. And it was just so hard running around customers. And she barely could move. She's dragging her feet to the house. And meanwhile, she's walking with her father, and her father, who is 90 years old, is walking briskly ahead of her. And he turns to her and says, "Isn't this great? Don't you wish this would just continue for another few months?" And she says, "No way!" You know. But Chad is, he built up the business from scratch. He got such pleasure from every sale. So he's energized. So he's 90 years old, but he can be on his feet all day long and, you know, it doesn't bother him in the least. So when a person is happy, a person has energy. His brain thinks clearly. Your brain works better. Everything about you works better. Right? We said this once. I think we said this in a Musafah that they said that there's a certain Gadol who did tremendous precious. He basically never came out, never ate and never slept. And you looked at him and he looked like a tremendous Gibor. And someone asked him, how is he able to be so healthy and so strong? And he says, every morning I make a bracha, Shalom Asani Goy, and I get, wow, Shalom Asani Goy. And who needs breakfast? Who needs Wheaties, you know? Shalom Asani Goy, you know? That's it. So when a person is happy, a person can learn better, can think better, everything is better. So the problem is, and it's something that the Rishiva is very, I think the Rishiva held, I would say it's the biggest problem, but one of the biggest problems is that America is not a happy society. Shiva used to quote Rav El Yisvei from Philly, that he said, he asked Rav Chatzko, who was the famous Mashkiach of Panovich, he was originally the Mashkiach in the Mir in Shanghai, why Americans are not happy? Why are Americans less happy than Europeans? You would think that America is such a rich society that we should be happier than Europeans, which was a poor society. But they were made that Americans are less happy. Europeans means Eastern Europeans. And I said Rav Chasko gave two svaras. Either one is preetzus, that the preetzus makes a person depressed because he feels low about himself, or because America has unfulfilled, you know, people are taught in America that that anyone can make it, and it's not true. So people get unrealistic expectations. And unrealistic expectations cause depression. But whatever the reason is, America is not a happy society. And people walking around not happy. And obviously, that connects in yeshiva. And many, many, many guys in yeshiva, we're not saying they're chas v'shalom depressed, but they're not really happy. I once gave a talk, I was teaching a high school class, and I gave them a survey, and whatever it is, when I was made short, I asked them, one of the questions was, how would they grade their happiness level? I didn't get one kid in the class that said he was really happy. You know, they were all, you know, so-so. You know, so that is your many, many people. And that causes a tremendous problem. It makes that we can't learn as well as we can, that we can't wake up in the morning for minyan as much as we can, that our hasmad is not as good as it can. It affects, it hurts our success in ruchnius. So it's important to be happy. And Rav Shiva was very big on this. Rav Shiva used to always tell the story that Rav Elchanan Wasserman stayed at his house. He and in the 30s, in the late 30s, you know, Rav Chanan was very close with Rav David, and Rav Chanan was known, he did not smile. It was a known thing. Rav Chanan did not smile. So Rav David, before Rav Chanan came, Rav David told the Rosh Hashiva, you should know everything Rav Chanan does is from the Chafetz Chaim, except this one thing, he says, meaning that Rav David was telling Rav Shiva, that don't learn from Rav Chanan not to smile. That I don't hold of. That Rav Chanan's own shita doesn't come from the Chafetz Chaim, and Rav David didn't think it was right. I asked Rav Simcha, Rav Chanan's son, how come his father never smiled? Rav Simcha was the most smiley person in the world. He said he didn't know. It's a funny answer. But he said he didn't know why his father had such a shita. But anyway, but the Maisa, Rav David, obviously, I assume is Rav Chanan could be happy without smiling. I assume that's the answer. But Rav David felt that we have to smile. Rabbi Chait always tells the story that there was a guy in Israel who never smiled, and when the yeshiva was in Israel in 77, and Rabbi Chait, as those who know him, has a very good sense of humor, Rabbi Zion Chait. And the yeshiva gave him the job to get this guy to smile. And he tried all his jokes on him, and he said he just couldn't get him to smile. Just couldn't get him to smile. Tried all his tricks. It just didn't go. And then that's the same guy that supposedly came to yeshiva later. There's a famous story I was telling the guys, that he came to yeshiva, and he told the yeshiva that he's a Mashiach. And the yeshiva just couldn't help but resist, but say, can't be, because the guy before you was a Mashiach. A true story. Two Mashiachim, right after the other, one after the other. Anyway, so the Maisa, so the guy cracked up, the Maisa, you know, you have to be happy. Shiva was, I told the guys in my share, Rishiva was against precious, because he felt that an armadrega, we need a piece of cake to make us happy. Now, if you're on a diet, that's something else, because then you're happy because you're on a diet and you're losing weight, and that also makes you happy. But if you're not on a diet, you're just doing it for ruchnius, Shiva did not feel that we're on the madrega for that, that fakert, it's better to eat the cake and not have precious and have the happiness that, great, a piece of chocolate cake. Hey, chocolate cake. You know, not the straw of the vanilla cake. That doesn't add any happiness. But Shiva was a very big believer of jokes. She was a big believer that you have to tell jokes. Right? He held that a joke is not litzanis. Litzanis, which is in the Gemara, says you're not supposed to do is when you make fun of things. You ridicule. Litzanis means you take something serious and you ridicule it. You know, because that diminishes the chashivas. You take a person and you make fun of him. You draw a picture of him with big ears, whatever. You belittle him. You sit at a levayan, it's a serious thing, and you make fun of him. I didn't say Rabbi Yochanan. I may quote Rabbi Chaik. No, no, I'm saying I quote your father. You get in trouble. I think. Anyway, I'm in trouble. All right. But you check with your father. I think it's true. Most of the things I say I don't make up. Mostly exaggerate a little bit. But okay. Anyway. But Rashi was a big believer. You have to have a sense of humor. And that's not litzanis. He said litzanis is you belittle things. You take away its chashivas. That's wrong. But litzanis is a joke. Shiva used to say that Rav Chaim Ozer, the God of Dor, had a very, very good sense of humor. Ad kidei kach, that he used to talk in riddles. I heard this from Rav Trapp, and I heard from a few people that Rav Chaim Ozer, when you would ask him a shayla, imagine the God of Dor, he would answer you in a pun. Rav Trapp had a story. Rav Trapp was the Rashiva's father-in-law, that he had a din Torah. The shayla was, Rav Trapp was the Chafetz Chaim started riding. This is his yeshiva. But he didn't run it on a daily basis. So he appointed the Rosh Yeshiva because he was too busy. So he fundraised for it, but he didn't run it at all. So the Rosh Yeshiva, he had a different Rosh Yeshiva and even a different Mashkiach. He maybe said in his house, some boys would come over and he would speak Friday night. But he didn't, he basically didn't, I don't even know if he came into yeshiva very much. I don't think so. So the Rashiva of Radin was Rav Naftali Trapp. So then the Chavetz Chaim was Nifter and Rav Naftali was Nifter. So there was a shayla, who's supposed to be the head of the yeshiva? Whose yeshiva is it? Is it the Chavetz Chaim's family, which was the Chavetz Chaim had two son-in-laws? There was a shayla, are they the Yorishim? Or, because the Chavetz Chaim's son was Nifter, but it was a shot of the two son-in-laws. Or is it Rav Avram Trapp, who was a Granat's son? So imagine, these are not schlumpy people. These are the Gedolei Ador, the Reshivas of Ran and Yeshiva. They're coming to the Gadol Ador, Rav Chaim Ozer, with a serious shaita. So he answered them with a pun. Right? He says, Al Pishnayim Edim Yakum Davar. Edim in Yiddish means what? Son-in-laws. So Shnishnayim Edim Yakum Dar. It's a pasuk in the Torah. And then he told Rav Trapp that they get the chazaka, and you get to make chayzik of their chazaka. What's chayzik in Yiddish?
A joke.
Because it says officially they'll be the Rosh Hashivas, but unofficially you'll be the Rosh Hashivas because all the Talmidim are going to go to you because you have your father's derech and they all want your father's derech. So his hope sack was two puns, that they're Edim, Shnei Edim Yakum Davar, and he gets to make chazik of their chazaka. Right? Rav Zuckerman told me the same thing, and he went to Rav Chaim Ozer, also got a psak in a pun. That was Shiva held that making humor is mutter, is a mitzvah. Gedolei Ador did that, and it's not litzanis. Anyway, so getting to the point. So we have to try and be happy. So you have to work on it. It's a project. Even though the Messiah Sharem doesn't seem to, if you have this kasha, where in the Messiah Sharem does it talk about being happy? Where in the Messiah Sharem does it talk about not having low self-esteem? It doesn't. So what's pshat? Pshat is the world changed in the Messiah Sharem's time, I guess. People didn't have a problem of low self-esteem, and they didn't have a problem of not being happy. So it wasn't such a major thing to work on. But today, it's a major issue. And just for the record, avoiding low self-esteem does not mean having gaiva. Most Bali gaiva have very high low self-esteem. I hope I said that right. Right? Most Bali gaiva have very much low self-esteem because of a simple reason. Because when you're about gaiva, I'm supposed to get 100 on every test. So if you get a 98, I'm the biggest idiot in the world because I made such a stupid mistake. Can't believe I made such a stupid mistake. How could I, the genius, make such a stupid mistake? Okay, the other guy, I understand. But me? So people who are Bali Gaiva is very often and very low self-esteem. So low self-esteem and Gaiva are not the same. But okay. Anyway, so how do we work on being happy? So the first thing we said already is, you have to do things that make you happy. You have to, smile. Rav Zuckerman told us there was a certain person And he held me. You have to, I don't know, you see, you don't even know Rav Zuckerman. Rav Zuckerman was this amazing Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim who learned in Kelm, who was like the most serious person in the world. And like he was like, I never met a person who was such a intense personality. And when he was like 90 years old. But he told us that there was a person he knew who used to stand in a mirror and make funny faces to make himself happy. He felt that was the right thing to do, you know? Because you got to make yourself happy. So he would stand and lock himself in the bathroom and make funny faces till he would start laughing. And that, that helps him be happy. So you have to have a sense of humor. You have to eat chocolate cake, right? You know? But that's not the main way of being happy. Those are little things. The main way of being happy is a thing called focus. And it's really a choyves of avos, and it's an Or Yisrael. It's in the Or Yisrael quotes the choyves of avos on anivus. The question is, how was Moshe Rabbeinu able to be anav mikol adam if Moshe Rabbeinu was obviously greater than everybody in Klal Yisrael? How could it be anav mikol adam? Because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter learned that anav mikol adam means that even clappy other people, he thought that every person was greater than him. It's a big machlokes. There are many people that say anav mikol adam was only because he felt clappy Hashem. But Rabbi Yisrael learns it meant clappy people, that he felt that every single person in the world was better than he was. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu feel that way? So Rabbi Yisrael says, and based on the Chayvus of Avis, because every person he met, he focused on some mida that person had that he didn't have. So if the person was older than him, he says, oh, he has more mitzvahs than me, he's older, it's more experience. If the person was younger, oh, he has less, mistakes, whatever. He's younger, he has more time to live, whatever. Right? If he met two people, one's older and one's younger, so the older person's better than him because he's older, and the younger person's better than he's younger. It's a stira. Rabbi Yisrael says there's no problem. A person can live in stiras. There's no problem. So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to find in every single person in the whole world some mida, and by focusing on it, he was able to feel it. Even though it's like absurd. It's like Moshe is a million times greater than this schnook in Klal Yisrael, I don't think. But we're not talking about Yahushua. We're talking about every single person in Klal Yisrael. So there were people that he was thousands of times greater. But he could figure out some little mida that person had over him. He's not as smart as me, so he doesn't have as much nishyainis. I don't know. And by focusing on it, he could emotionally feel that the guy's better. So Rav Yisrael basically says in Yisrael that a person has the ability to focus even on little things and become oblivious to everything else. There's a sefer Mishom. I quote this every year. It's a beautiful thing. He says the same thing is with simcha. He said there's a chazal somewhere that simcha is compared to oil. He says oil has an amazing property that when you put it on water, it floats. It doesn't mix. So he says when a person has lots of saris and a little bit of simcha, they don't mix. It's not pshat that life is so-so. Life is lukewarm. Life is, the hot water and cold water, they mix. The simcha stays separate and the saris stays separate. I remember my mother was nifter. My yahrzeit is chafdaw and other. So I remember, she was ready on her deathbed the last week or two when it was Purim. I went to the yeshiva. It was so they had their Purim, whatever. I was not in the mood of. I didn't want to laugh. My mother's in the deathbed in the hospital. But sometimes you couldn't help yourself. If something funny happened. As much as I'm unhappy, but there's a simcha. You gotta be when there's something a simcha, you're a simcha. A person, that's what he says. Simcha and saris don't mix. They don't. You don't because you have a lot of simcha and a little saris, so the saris cancel out or vice versa. Mimeda, this is what the sefer Mishom was a rishon. I think it was a Makobo, just for the record, says that it all depends on the person's focus. If simcha and tzaris don't mix, if it's oil on water, so it depends what you look at. If you focus on the oil, and if you put a little oil on top of the water, and you just look down on the oil, you won't see the water. If you look from the bottom, you just see the water. You won't see the oil, right? It depends on which way you're looking. I think I said that wrong, but I hope you got the idea, right? If you look at from the top, you'll just see the oil. You won't see water, even though there's more water than oil. But the oil floats on top, and it covers up all the water. So the simcha, a little bit of simcha, can cover up all the tzaras if you decide to focus on it. If you don't decide in focusing it, it can be the other way. You can have a little bit of tzar, and you'll be focused on that, and you can be grumpy all day. So it's an amazing thing, and we definitely believe this. It says this in many svarim, that whether or not a person is happy or unhappy, does not, obviously it's easier if you have an easy life, and it's harder if you have a hard life. But at the end of the day, that's not the criteria. A person can have the greatest life in the world and be unhappy. We have the famous example with Haman. Haman had this great line, Koza lo shaveli, right? He was the richest guy in the world. He was the most powerful guy in the world. He had the most kids in the world, whatever. And he still says he's not happy. Koza lo shaveli, because he focused on his one little problem, that there's one idiotic Jew that refuses to bow down to him. It's like, so what? But that, nothing is worth, and koza lo shaveli means nothing is worth anything. It's all worthless. Life is worthless. Life is crummy. Because one thing bothers me. And there are other people that they can be just the opposite, that everything in life can be terrible, but they got one little good thing and they're happy. So the real Yisrael, and we believe this, if a person is happy or not happy, it's totally up to you. You can't blame anyone else. You can't blame Hashem. You can't blame your Rabbeim. You can't blame your friends. You can't blame your Chavrusa who messed you up. It's up to you. If you want to be happy, you can be happy. You can focus on the good and be happy. You want to be depressed? A lot of people like to be depressed. I don't know why. There's a certain desire to be depressed. It's an interesting question why people would want. But the Maisa, people for some reason focus on the bad. But the chap is, I don't say it's so easy, but you gotta learn to focus on the good, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the problems, a person could be a yasim and a divorcee and financial problems and sick. If you focus on the good, you'll be happy. If you focus on the bad, you'll be unhappy. And it's your choice. No one else. Can't blame anybody else in the world. Because if you want to be happy, you can be happy. That's the many people say that. And many svarim say that. That it's not, Hashem doesn't make people happy or unhappy. It's not, that's not, there's not a din. A Russia is not punished with unhappiness. A Russia maybe is punished with Yisurim and not Yisurim. But happiness and non-happiness is the person's Bechira Chavshas. They say that. I just saw that in Pirkei Avos. One of the Mefarshim said that. That whether you're happy or not is your free choice. And there's no one forcing you. It's up to you. So that's what we have to do. We have to focus on the good and not to focus on the bad.
Doesn't there have to be something good that's like lasting? For example,
well, there is something good.
On a funny joke.
So okay, so, okay.
For a second, but
okay.
It's
not gonna have a lasting. But the good thing, listen, you have such a great Rebbe. Right, kind of woos. Must have some great Rebbe, right? No, you have a great, you're a great shir. You're in a great yeshiva, right? There are some things in life you can find that are good. It's not all bad. You know? Most people can find something in life. There was a person in Eretz Yisrael, the truth was had lo aleinu, he had cancer. Then the Maaseis Moshe, one of the Rashivas of Kol Torah, he wrote numerous svarim. He died relatively young of cancer, and he said, you know, so you think he'd be depressed, he's dying, he's dead on his deathbed, you know, young guy in his 40, whatever, 50, I don't know how old he was, you know, he's dying of cancer. He says he's so happy that he got cancer because through the cancer he was able to reach a tremendous high level of Dveikus B'Hashem. He never davened with so much kavanah since he got cancer. He says if you would offer him now to take away the cancer and bring him back to the way he was, he wouldn't accept it. He said, I assume he meant it. So here's a guy who's mamish on his dying from cancer, and he found something good to be happy about because the cancer gave him a stronger kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which most people don't have. And he was able to daven with kavana. He was able to feel connected to Hashem. So he found something good. A person in almost any situation, no matter who you are, can find a good thing in life. And if you want to focus on it, you can be happy. You don't want to focus on it, you want to focus on the bad, you'll be grumpy. It's your choice.
Be able to do both at this, meaning, let's say, when it comes to Moshe, right, so Moshe was focusing on a small prod of good, but at the same time, was he also realizing that he's 100 times better than the guy?
No, he didn't want him to realize that, because that would be a chisaron and anava. He wasn't interested in focusing on that, so he didn't focus on that. Okay. Anyway, so the first most important thing, I think it's such an important thing you say, that people can't say, what can I do? It's not my fault. Hashem gave me a bad deck of cards. You know, I can't help it. It's up to you. If you want to be happy, you can be happy. You have to focus. And if you don't know, and if you want to be unhappy, you can be unhappy too. It's mamish your choice. The second you say, which is very, very important, is that a person has to learn to give up grudges. It's the same idea. But when you keep a grudge, even though some people, there's a certain desire, it's a pleasure. You know, you really have a grudge against someone, you know. So people like to keep the grudge. Holding a grudge keeps you unhappy. Right? I told the guys the story. It's a true story. I don't want to say who told it to me because I don't want to give away the identity of the person. But it happened in one, you know, I come from a little bit of a rabbinical family, so I know a little bit about shul politics. So there was a certain person who had a daven in a shul that was next to his house, and he davened there for like 30 years. It was the only shul next to his house, and he was a chashiv about bus, and he had a chashiv seat, and even had his own shtender in the shul, which was almost no one had, and he had all his friends there. And then one day he tells the gabbai, you know, I have a yahrzeit for my grandmother, whatever it is. And the gabbai decided, listen, there's too many aliyahs, and he didn't give an aliyah. Ha! He's fuming. For chutzpah, the gabbai didn't give me an aliyah. I'll never daven here again. Right? So what does he do? He walks to another shul that's a half hour away. No one even knows him there. He sits in the back. He has no seat. He has no friends. He has to walk in the snow, in the cold, in the rain. I got the gabbai. The gabbai, good riddance. One less guy to give aliyahs. Gabbai doesn't care. You know? So basically, he's bearing a grudge, and the only person who's suffering is himself. Right? He lost his shul. He lost his seat. He lost his friends. He has to walk in the cold. No one else cares. No one cares. That's what it is. When you bear a grudge, it's a the only person you're hurting is yourself. You're angry at your chavrusa. You're angry at your rebbe. You're angry at your parents. Okay, it doesn't hurt them. They don't even know you're angry at them, and it doesn't affect them. The only one that's suffering because you're walking around with this grudge is yourself. So you gotta learn. Even if it's a legitimate grudge. So yes, a person, she should have been nicer. He should have taken better care of you. You got a legitimate grudge. But there's no point in walking around with a grudge because it's just going to make you miserable. And you have to learn to let grudges go. Okay, so anyway. So basically we're saying it's extremely important to be happy. So there's three ways to be happy. One is these little things, making jokes, eating chocolate cake, smiling, right? Those are little things that for us are major. Second is the most important is focusing on the good. You have to focus. And the third thing is be able to not focus on the to let go of grudges. Rabbi Winter of Hashanam told me when he went to be a Rav, the Rashiva told him that there were three things he needs to be a rabbi. I don't remember what the three things are. One was bitachin, but the second was to have a sense of humor, that I remember. He said, because things are always going to go wrong, and you have to know how to laugh it off. You know, okay, we goofed. It's especially true, you know, when you talk about being, you know, unhappy. Yeshiva guys have a serious problem because we have such high standards in yeshiva. Especially in this yeshiva, we emphasize Ian, and we emphasize, you know, Tyra, and it's so hard not to have Hurim and not to do Minitsho and Averis. It's so difficult. So there's so many things that can get people down. You know, I don't get share perfectly, and I'm not as good as a learner as I wanted to be, and I came to yeshiva to become a tzaddik, and I'm still doing Averis. And it's very, very hard in yeshiva to be happy. I don't want to say there are a higher percentage of unhappy guys in yeshiva, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's very hard. And therefore, especially in yeshiva, we got to work on being happy, on countering, you know, that we got to either, you know, not focus on the negatives. If you're nichshol, you don't focus on it. You just forget that. They say that Rav Volba said that. It's in print. Anyone wants to see. Rav Volba said, he got, from the Chazon Ish, told him, Beferish, if a bocher is nichshol, you forget about it. He says, Rosh Hashanah, you think about doing tshuva. Before Rosh Hashanah, that's it. It's over. No Indian today. You know, maybe the next davening, the first chakras, you can say Al-Khait and after that, he says, you totally forget about it. Right? Come Rosh Hashanah, maybe you want to remember again. But till Rosh Hashanah, now's not the time for tshuva. Now's the time for being happy and learning, and you don't focus. You did an Aveira. Okay, go weiter. That's what the Chazon Ish said. I think the Rashiva had a similar sheet. I don't know if he ever said, you know, said it. I don't remember him saying it so stark, but he definitely had that sheet. You have to be happy, not let your Averas get you down. So we have to go ahead and make sure that we're happy and we have the ability to be happy. I did want to one last thing. I know I'm over time, but as long as we're talking about it, it's a serious thing to be mentioned, even though Be'ezra Hashem, it shouldn't happen so often. But when we talk about being unhappy, there is a phenomenon that Beis Medrash guys have to be aware of because they are achroi, especially when we have a high school. There is such a phenomenon, especially high school kids, getting depressed and chas v'shalom trying to commit suicide. People think it's a big joke and never happens, but it does happen. One of the yeshiva's branches basically closed because a guy committed suicide. You know, whatever. Those who know that and it does happen. It happens every place, you know, that, you know, usually we catch it. I and my roommate, I told the guys in Israel, I was a bocher in the yeshiva, and my roommate came over and gave me an envelope and said, please hold on to this in case anything happens to me. And he was popping pills like crazy. And I walked out of the room and I quickly opened the envelope, and it was a suicide note. We took him to the hospital and pumped his stomach, and, you know, okay, he's okay. But I hope he's okay. He was okay then. But the Maisa, it's not an unheard of thing that people do, young people, especially high school kids. When this guy was a Beis Medrash guy, he wasn't from a Beis Medrash. He was in his first year of Beis Medrash. He came from some non-normal yeshiva. He wasn't coming from a normal yeshiva background. But okay, but a ma'isa, it isn't unheard of. And if guys have to be achroi, if someone makes a joke, I remember there was in Queens, used to be a guy that used to say, I'm jumping off the roof. You say that like every other day. And guys, there was a big joke. And say, oh yeah, when are you jumping off the roof? It's not a joke. It could be a joke, but you don't know. So if a guy ever says, I'm going to commit suicide, the first thing you do is you run and you tell a Rebbe, and you don't make a joke out of it. You never know when it's serious. It's not a joking matter at all. And guys have to be aware. People sometimes think it never happens. Regretfully, it does happen. There were, you know, whatever. I don't want to go into more details, but it does happen. Baruch Hashem, usually we catch it before anything serious happens. But that there are guys that are thinking about it, it is possible, and it's an achrayus. We're not in the dormitory. We're not with the kids all the time. Guys should know that it is a possibility. So just, if you ever hear someone say it, please, please take it seriously. Okay.
Go ahead.